Hi, I'm Arlene McIntyre, Creative Director at Ventura Design, and you're listening to Shut the Front Door, a lighthearted podcast that will bring you through the front door and into the homes of influential and interesting people. Home for me is one of the most important things in my life. My career has fortunately given me the opportunity to work closely with people and to help them create a home they will cherish forever. Lorraine Keane is one of Ireland's best-known broadcasters and journalists. An IFTA-nominated broadcaster, she has hosted television programmes for RTE, TV3 and Sky Television. She spent 11 years as entertainment correspondent for TV3. Lorraine was also the anchor of Ireland's most popular fashion, celebrity and lifestyle show, Exposé. Lorraine is devoted to her charity work and is an ambassador and volunteer with many charities at home and overseas, including Make-A-Wish Foundation, Crumlin Children's Hospital, Breast Cancer Ireland and Oxfam Ireland. She is the founder of Fashion Relief, a fundraising initiative to raise funds for Oxfam's work in the developing world. This work has seen her travel across the globe on charity missions to report on and raise awareness of human rights violations. Most recently, Lorraine has launched some business ventures including Finish.ie, an interiors marketplace for the Irish consumer, and the Magic Hairbrush, a new detangling brush that is getting rave reviews across the beauty industry. Married to the wonderful Peter Devlin and mother to Amelia and Romy, it's my great pleasure to introduce the fabulous Lorraine Keane to Shut the Front Door.
Oh, thank you, Arlene. I'm delighted to be part of it.
How are you living through the lockdown?
Yeah, like everybody, you know, it's a bit of a struggle. Some days I wake up and I embrace the moment and the time to be a bit more creative. And other days I wake up and for no particular reason, I just feel, I don't know, just flat, you know? So it just kind of comes in waves. I think, like I kind of try to do most days of my life before the coronavirus, you know, I try and count my blessings and try and remind myself of all the wonderful things that I have around me and people. And but just some days it's tougher, you know, Arlene, because it's just the unknown, you know, it's so uncertain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. It is just so interesting. Like, since we even started the podcast, the lockdown has just extended another week, extended another 2 weeks, extended another 3 weeks. It's just so interesting, you know, how chatting to everybody, everyone is, we're all in it together, really. So,
yeah. Yeah. And that's what you have to keep reminding yourself, too. You know, it's nothing that any of us, you know, really did wrong. I say to people, like, when the recession happened, and, you know, I just was so cross with how, you know, our little country kind of screwed up in so many areas. And, you know, you had the banks and property developers and all sorts of people to blame. And yet the whole country, as a result, suffered a recession for a long period of time. Whereas this is out of everybody's hands. You know, nobody really is to blame, apart from the fact that we know now that we have to look after our little planet. Not that we didn't know before, but I think this is a really strong reminder that the planet needs to be looked after.
So true. Mm. And how is homeschooling going for you?
Well, I'm very lucky that my girls are 13 and 16 and they're in first year and transition year. So I suppose for every year, you know, it's important that that they have school, but they're probably the most least important years of the secondary kind of school period. So Amelia, my 16-year-old, is just annoyed that she's getting to miss, you know, a large chunk of the best year of school in your life, because they had all sorts of wonderful plans to go away. And in fact, Italy was one of the places they were supposed to go in the next couple of weeks. And Romy is, she's very focused, and we're lucky that the school that they're both in are very focused, and they, you know, are online every day doing Zoom classes. And yeah, it's for them because they're teenagers. You know yourself, Arlene, like when I was a teenager, the most important people in my life were my friends. And honestly, for a short period of time, you know, your family isn't really, you know, and yeah. They've had to, you know, just kind of lock down and not see anybody. But they're lucky they have technology, you know, that we didn't have in the way that they have it. And it's something that they've been using, you know, their whole lives, kind of growing up since they were 13. So they've had their phones. So yeah, I mean, they're just making do, and they know that they're in a much better position than a lot of kids out there. So yeah, you just have to try and pick out the positives.
Exactly. And what have you been learning about yourself during the pandemic?
I've had time to be creative and kind of be more focused, I suppose, on the things that I've always wanted to have the time to do. But when you're earning, you know, yourself and I'm self-employed, you know, you just take the jobs as they come. And sometimes that means you're extremely busy and way too busy, but you're always afraid. Like for me, because I'm self-employed for the last 10 years, I'm always afraid to say no because, you know, what if they don't want me next week? Do you know what I mean? Okay, well, the sun shines. So, and there's pros and cons to being employed and being self-employed. And I certainly love the freedom and independence being self-employed gives me, especially when the children were younger. So yeah, it's just made me kind of focus on exciting new projects like Fashion Relief, which is my fundraising initiative for Oxfam Ireland, and it's so close to my heart. And I travel to the developing world with them every year and report back on the wonderful work that they do in the world's poorest countries. And Fashion Relief was something that I dreamed up a few years ago. And like last year we raised 200,000, and this year we're hoping to make even more. Yes, we went nationwide last year with it. And of course, like everything else, Fashion Relief was cancelled. It was supposed to be at the end of March. So I have all of this incredible stock, pre-loved designer clothes, some brand new samples from designers, from boutiques, from wholesalers, from fabulous fashionable women's wardrobes in boxes and in storage in a school that very kindly gave us their school rooms way before this because they were closed for refurbishment. So I've got all this stock, and you know, we talk about on our side of the planet how we're suffering through this pandemic. You know, you can only imagine the situations that people living in extreme poverty are in at this moment in time. You know, it's just gone from bad to just much, much, much worse. So they need us now more than ever. And again, when people are kind of tightening their belts and they're unsure and the spending isn't the same, charities are the first ones that suffer. So they, you know, had to close all their Oxfam shops and they have no fundraising on the card. So I have spent the last 5 weeks with an amazing company called Axonista, who I met for the first time virtually on Zoom, even though all of the guys that work there, all the fantastic tech savvy guys, work remotely the whole time. I had to try and convince them to work with Fashion Relief and Oxfam for free, because that's the whole premise of Fashion Relief, that everybody works on the event as a volunteer and every cent that we make then goes directly to the people who need it most. So they said yes. So they're now working on an amazing interactive player for our Fashion Relief website and possibly an app that people can purchase on and scroll through, a bit like Instagram stories. So yeah, fingers crossed, we're about to do a demo in the next couple of weeks, and I'll be shooting a TV show / online shopping channel from my house.
That is fantastic, Lorraine. Well done.
Thank you. Yeah, hopefully we're just kind of, there's a lot of teething problems and resources, and myself and Peter and Amelia and Romy spent all of the bank holiday weekend taking stuff out of boxes and sanitizing them, steaming them, ironing them, photographing them, modeling them.
And modeling them,
And hanging them up. Oh, I know. And I'm certainly not a model. It's okay doing a photograph at my front door, Arlene, is what I do for my outfit of the day for the lovely labels I work with. But when you're modeling, it's a whole other story.
No, but look at what you're doing. I mean, that's also great memories for you and your family. You'll be able to look back on how you all, you know, rolled up your sleeves and
exactly
together.
Yeah. All hands on deck.
Absolutely. So I have loads of questions for you today, Lorraine, and I'd love to ask you all about your first memories of your childhood home. Can you
share anything? I'm from Rathfarnham, and all my family, I've got six siblings. And my mom lives in Rathfarnham still. My dad lives up the north because my parents separated after 23 years of marriage over 20 years ago. But they're still friends, which is wonderful. And they're both very healthy. So Rathfarnham was my first, my second, my third and my fourth house was, because between 0 to 20, we moved 5 times, Arlene. I know. And from 20 to 40 plus now for me, I have also moved another 5 times. I know. I got my bug. Well, I got my bug, I think, for interiors and renovating and refurbishing from my parents, you know, because that's why they kept moving. That and the fact they kept having more children, so we needed more space.
Yeah.
So we moved a lot. But my childhood home was a beautiful semi-detached 3 or 4 bedroom house, I can't remember, in Butterfield Grove. And Rathfarnham is a fabulous place. And similar to where I live at the moment, it's got that kind of old worldy kind of vibe and village feel, you know. So that's why all of my siblings have stayed in Rathfarnham. I'm the only one that's the blow in into Monkstown. I kind of edged my way closer and closer to the sea between my 20s and 30s. So it was just a very lovely home. It was homely. And because there was always so many of us, growing up together, my mom used to call the house Houston Station because the doorbell never stopped and people just come and went, and they were always made feel very welcome. Very Irish kind of typical family home.
Yeah. And you have a lot of sisters. Am I correct in saying that you've got?
You're right. I have 5 sisters and 1 brother. He's in the middle, and God bless him and his patience. But he was also a bit spoiled too, and is still adored by all of us. So yeah, pros and cons to everything.
And what was your teenage bedroom like?
My teenage bedroom had a lot of posters on the walls. Mm. And as much as I didn't want my girls to do that in their teens, I've given in because it was hugely important to me to have the people that I looked up to. And it was mostly musicians of the 80s and 90s and some fashion that were on my walls. But I shared a bedroom with my sister until I suppose I was about 12. And then we moved again and I got my own room. But I was just across the way in the attic space. They converted the attic and my sister was across the way from me. So, and I have 4 little sisters. There's a bit of a gap. So there's Jennifer, myself, Jonathan. Then there's a gap. And then there's the 4 girls, Samantha, Victoria, Danielle and Rebecca. And the 4 little ones, as we still call them, I kind of thought of them and treated them like they were my own babies. I was always very maternal, and we're still very, very close today. And now they've got their own babies.
Yeah. So then at what point did you decide to go into journalism and TV presenting?
I always liked the entertainment world. My dad is a full-time musician, and so is my husband. But I suppose I watched my dad perform my whole life, and I always thought that was something that I would like. But my dad never encouraged any of us to get into the music industry, funnily enough. He says it's because, you know, 6 of us were girls, and he thinks that it's a very, very tough business for women.
Yes.
You know, the travel that you have to do, and then you're working during all of kind of the social times and holiday times and other people are off. And I did notice that. But it's funny, I say to him, Dad, you were trying to, you know, protect me by not going into the music business. And then I ended up being a journalist, a TV presenter.
I was thinking that, which is equally as tough. I mean, that's great, man.
I know. So I got my voice trained when I was a teenager with my babysitting money behind my dad's back because I still wanted to pursue a music career. And I wanted to go to the Young People's Theatre. Anne Kavanagh is this amazing woman based in Rathfarnham who's been around forever. And I hope she doesn't mind me saying that. But I wanted to go to her. But my mother said there's no way. There was no outside, you know, kind of school activities for us, Arlene, growing up, because there were 7 of us.
Yeah.
You know, so she literally used to just throw us into the back garden and then she'd say, I don't want to see sight nor sign of you unless there's a limb missing. So if you came in saying he poked me or she shoved me or I fell and scraped my knee, she'd be like, get out.
Oh, wow.
I know. I suppose her life was busy enough with her children without being on the road. You know, she thinks that we're all crazy, and she's probably right with the amount of after school activities we have our children doing, you know, and we're all wrecked. And actually, that's one of the really nice things that I found out of this, you know, very crazy situation that we're in, that we're all together and I'm not mummy taxi, you know, and I'm not trying to keep an eye on my teenagers whilst at the same time holding down my day job, you know, keeping the house tidy and cooking dinner in the evening.
Yeah.
One less job.
That's true. And then chat me through your journalism career and how that all started and began. And I'd love to hear that whole story.
Yeah, I wanted to go into DCU to do a 4-year degree in communications journalism. and I didn't get the points, so I was going to repeat my leaving. And my best friend, Ali, we're friends since we were four. Ali still lives in Rathfarnham, and we're still extremely close. She found a course, which was a foundation course in broadcasting and journalism in Senior College Ballyfermot. And that's where my parents lived. My dad is from Rathfarnham, but both my parents lived in Ballyfermot. So I knew the area and I knew my granny was there. And I loved the idea. It was a very new course in broadcasting and journalism. And I thought to myself, I could repeat my leaving, or I could do this course and kind of make sure that it's what I want to do. Because as I said, I wanted to be in entertainment, but for me, that was more music and drama.
Okay.
And Ali, because I loved writing and still do and love stories, she was so right. She picked out the course and she goes, Lars, this is playing to your strengths 100%. It's got the news part of it and, you know, the front of camera bit too. So I decided to do the course, did the course, was lucky enough to be selected to audition for AA Roadwatch. Just towards the end of my course, they went around to a lot of the broadcasting colleges around the country, and I was one of the five chosen to audition. And I actually didn't get the job. Somebody else got the job, but he had another job and he wanted AA Roadwatch to work around him, which they couldn't. So I was their second choice. And from that, did radio, live radio on Radio 1, national radio, then spoke to the guys in 2FM, and they decided to give us a go on 2FM as well, on the basis that I did it. Ian Dempsey was the presenter at the time.
Yeah.
And he said that really they were looking for another female voice to be part of the show, because every single contributor to the show was a male. And he said, yeah, you do the reports and we'll give you a go. So anyway, long story short, I stayed on Roadwatch for 7 years, and over the course of that time, I was made manager. Conor Falkland was made manager of PR. I was made manager of the AA Roadwatch traffic department. And by the time we left, we were on, you know, every radio station all over Ireland, national and local. So it was amazing, just an amazing time. And it gave me the opportunity to, I suppose, get my name out there, because I was saying my name, okay, it is like a double barrel name, and it's the name that people still say back to me, Lorraine Keane, AA Roadwatch. And it created a profile for me. And then Ian Dempsey's show was so relaxed on 2FM, he used to include me in kind of the banter, and that gave me an opportunity to show my personality. And from that, I was offered screen tests for TV, and then TV3 were born, and they asked me to come on as entertainment correspondent.
That must have been so exciting for you, though, because that was just like, being at the very beginning of all of that.
Yes. Oh, to be at a launch of the first commercial TV station in Ireland was just the most incredible time. It was the most amazing experience. And at the time, I was working full time in Roadwatch, which was, you know, a 6 a.m. start. I was doing a course at night in public relations and public administration and current affairs at night. And I was presenting TV shows for RTE at the weekend. Like, I did a business program called Start Me Up, and I did a program on cars called Drive, and I did various other programs. So all of my life was work. It's work that I love and adore, so it didn't feel like it. And I had no other commitments. It was just me. So when I got the opportunity to go to TV3, I stupidly thought that meant I would have my weekends free. Silly me. But I thought, this is great. I'll just do the hobby that I do at the weekend, and I get paid for it Monday to Friday. And of course, you know, that's not the way it is. But again, as I say, until the girls arrived, you know, it was my priority, and I was happy for it to be.
Yeah. It was exciting, though, I'd imagine.
Oh, traveling all over the world. Yeah. And I was the only one, because I was entertainment correspondent by myself for 9 years before we finally got expose across the line, because I'd been knocking on the doors for quite some time, because I knew there was a huge appetite for it at that time in Ireland, and there'd been nothing like it before. But for the 9 years, I was just traveling on my own and going to the most incredible places and interviewing some very interesting people. And yeah, it was absolutely a dream job. And really, it didn't encroach on my weekends that much, because we didn't even have many music festivals back then. You know, we had Witness, I think it was called. And then maybe one other. So it really was a kind of Monday to Friday job. And I did work a lot of evenings to kind of prepare for my entertainment slot on the news the next day. But no, it was just fantastic. And then Expose came, and that was equally as fantastic, because I then had four fantastic colleagues, the four reporters working with me on the show. So there were five of us. I was the anchor. And it was just such a lovely, happy time. But when the girls at that stage, when I left after just over 2 years, they were five and two. And I really was working a 6 or 7 day week because it was a monster of a show trying to fill, you know, at prime time, 5 days a week. So I just wasn't seeing them as much as I wanted to. And I knew I was missing out, and that was making me sad. And, you know, I've always said the juggle is a struggle when you're a mum, but when it encroaches on your private life and your work family, you know, become kind of more of your family, you see them more than your own, then something's got to give. So I decided to jump off.
That's true. And you'll never get those years back, Lorraine. So, you know.
Exactly, Arlene. Yeah. And I absolutely don't regret it one bit. It's been amazing. You know, it's been a very exciting 10 years for me. And as I said earlier, you know, sometimes it's very daunting when you're like, oh God, where's the next gig coming from? But it just always works itself out, you know. And I always knew that, like, a job's a job, and I'm a grafter, I'm a worker. I love work. I love being busy. I'll never be idle. So, you know, the one thing I wouldn't be able to get back is time with my babies.
100%.
And I didn't have them for somebody else to rear them, you know.
That's true. That's so true. And do you think the industry has changed a lot since you started?
I do. Well, I certainly know now Virgin Media and for TV3 even, a few years after I left, they started to allow the on-screen presenters take unpaid leave, which was a really nice idea, you know. It just meant that when the children were on their school holidays, you could at least take time to be with them, because that's another thing that's really difficult to manage, you know. So I think the industry as a whole has certainly changed for the better, but there's a long way to go.
Yeah, of course. I agree. You know, and it's tough for women, especially
in all industries.
In all industries, yeah, for sure. That's a whole another podcast. You know, that's so true, that subject.
Oh, it is.
But I remember watching you recently being interviewed by Richard E. Grant. And he interviewed you in the Shelburne. What was he like?
He's fantastic. My goodness, he's such a character.
I love him.
He really is. Yeah, I was teasing him about taking one of our gigs. I was like, you're an actor, okay? You've got your own area. This is like the best gig in the world, traveling around to all the five-star hotels.
Oh.
And you took it, you know. So we stayed in touch actually for ages on email. He's just a great guy. And I interviewed him then, only about 2 years ago for Glass Magazine, for their big event. They asked me to do some stuff for Glass TV. So it was fun to see him again. Yeah, he's brilliant. And that was just so much fun. You know, those kind of things, like, it just doesn't feel like work, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, it just comes so natural to you, Lorraine, really. You are just so
perfect talker
for what you do. Yeah, you are. And you've probably you've no doubt met loads of really super interesting people. Who has been like the one person that really stood out for you, that you've met throughout your career?
I suppose, well, there's been quite a few, thankfully. The one that I always think of just as soon as you started that question, because this is something I'm asked quite often, is Bono. I'm just so proud of him, because he's one of us. He's an Irish man, and he has just been so good for so many people. He's very supportive. He's very kind. He doesn't have the ego that, you know, the persona that he has on stage. He'd do anything for you, and he's really unaffected. For the biggest rock star in the world, he's hugely unaffected, and his family, like, you know, Ali and the kids, are amazing, and, you know, that speaks volumes as well. They're just a great family. Bono every single time gets my vote, and I've interviewed him all over the world. So I was there for the time they did their live performance on top of the Viacom building, the MTV building. Yeah. So I was there for that performance and to interview him afterwards. And we went out that night, the whole band and a few of us. And yeah, I've just had the most incredible memories because of Bono. And he'd always help me out. He had a nickname for me called, when I was, you know, filming, when I was in TV3, called Cato. So, you know, in the Peter Sellers movies where the mad joke jumps out from behind the fridge, he said I was like him because everywhere he turned, no matter what part of the world he was in, I was jumping out with a microphone going, "Hi, Bono." So I thought that was brilliant. I'm very happy about that nickname. And then the other one is Paul Newman. I got to interview Paul Newman a couple of times.
Wow. What's he like?
He is so adorable. He is so gentle. He's the most softly spoken person I've ever met in my life. Oh. Yeah. I mean, he's just, and that was, you know, probably my, one of my favorite, one of my best and one of my worst interviews because I was so starstruck. And the first time that I interviewed him, we were in Mondello and he was driving a Porsche and I was the passenger in the passenger seat. And boy, can he drive. And I, you know, I'm addicted to adrenaline. I love speed, but good Lord, my legs were like jelly getting out of the car. And I was so scared and so starstruck, you know, and just kind of that pinch yourself moment that I forgot to ask him anything. I had my little machine on my lap, you know, to ask him questions. So when we got out of the car, he obviously knew and he said, "Will we sit down somewhere quietly and do that again?"
Oh, wow.
I know.
And were his eyes as blue as they say they are? Like,
Arlene, unbelievable. It's like they're plugged in. They are so bright and so blue. And he's so handsome. And at that stage, I think he was definitely in his late 70s when I met him the first time.
But how would you describe your own personal style interiors wise?
A bit like my wardrobe, Arlene. You know, it's an eclectic mix. It depends on my mood. When I wake up in the morning, my favorite thing is shoes. So I look at the climate and then I work from the feet up most of the time. And I mix, like some days I wake up and I want to be boho chic. And other days I wake up and I want to be vintage lady, you know, Audrey Hepburn. Yeah. And other days I wake up and I want to be rock chick. So unfortunately, I don't think I have a particular style. If I did, it would, you know, be much better for my bank balance. But I love all fashion. And it's the same with interiors. And I think my house is very much a mix of that. I mean, this house that we're in now is my fifth renovation. And how myself and Jennifer came up with the idea of finished.ie, which is our, you know, online community, the platform that we have for everything interiors and exteriors, is because she too has renovated five homes in her lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I don't think either of us, we were friends since we were teenagers, but I don't think either of us did it intentionally. Like I certainly didn't do it to flip houses and make money. I just did up a house and then kind of got a bit bored or saw another doer upper and I was single and decided, okay, want to do that again. And that's why, you know, yeah, it just makes sense for the two of us to do finish.ie. It's because it's something that we're passionate about and therefore it doesn't feel like work. And it's the same with this house. This is probably my easiest renovation, even though it was the biggest one, because it's a Georgian house. It was in 8 flats when I got it. And, you know, we only had to really put it back to the way it was before. You know, it already had its bone structure and we just had to kind of go back to that. But the mix of decor is, you know, from very traditional antique pieces to Art Deco and some very contemporary pieces, depending on the room. So my kind of TV room and dining room would be very traditional. And I've got my lovely damask wallpaper from my uncle's wallpaper shop, Jerry Keane. I'll give him a little plug because everybody will know Jerry Keane wallpapers. They've been in Dublin One forever. And then downstairs, I would have, you know, a much more kind of modern type of feel. It's a good mix, I think. But I keep changing it because a bit like my wardrobe, I get bored and I want to have something new.
You like to experiment, try new things.
Yes. Exactly.
And maybe share a little bit more with me about finish.ie because it's actually a super idea, but maybe our listeners haven't heard of it before. So you might share a little more with me on that.
Yeah. And I suppose now more than ever, it's needed because everything that we do is online. So it is a community for every kind of trade or interior or exteriors. So if you're renovating or refurbishing, if you want to change anything to do with your interiors or your exteriors, so whether it's your roof tiles or your windows or your floors or your tiles in your bathroom or your soft furnishings, it is a community of all of those businesses throughout Ireland. And for the user, it's absolutely free. So you can just click on to finish.ie, and you can even search geographically for your area for whatever it is you're looking for. Maybe it's dining room furniture or sofas or, as I say, roof tiles or curtains. So you put that into the search engine, and then it'll geographically tell you the nearest businesses to where you are. The showrooms, we have Finish TV, where we give you a virtual tour of all of the pieces, products, services that are for sale with that business. And so it's free to the consumer. And then the trade and the, you know, the businesses, the products and services pay an annual membership. But for now, because of the circumstances we're in, we're offering membership for free for the foreseeable future, because there are a lot of businesses out there, small business, family businesses that are not online, and Finish.ie will give them the opportunity to be online and be available to their customers. Now more than ever, we're seeing that people are always time poor, Arlene, and that's kind of why we came up with the idea. Mm-hmm. You know, when I started renovating my first house, and Jennifer was the same, we used to spend weekends after weekends after weekends driving around from showroom to showroom, picking out bits and pieces mm-hmm. for our houses. Whereas now we don't have the time with our, you know, other day jobs and our children and juggling all of that. And neither do young people, and nor do they want to, because they've grown up online. So what we do is we provide that space for them so that they don't have to drive around to every showroom and waste time. They can literally, from the comfort of their own couch, you know, find what they want, the click of a button.
Yeah, it's clever, clever concept. I've no doubt it'll be very successful for you both.
Thank you. Yes, we're finding now in the last couple of months.
Do you feel you're a super organized person?
I think the busier I am, the more organized I am. I'm also a desperate procrastinator, Arlene. So, you know, if I can find a way out of doing something I don't want to do, you know, I'll be emptying that dishwasher, you know, God forbid, even doing some ironing. So, you know, that's the bit that I found the toughest in the beginning of being a self-employed person, is being disciplined, you know. And even at the moment, you know, with the fabulous weather, thank God that we're having, it's so tempting to go out into the garden, you know.
I know.
And if my Wi-Fi works that far, I would be there, but it doesn't. I would probably be organized most of the time, but the place still falls around me sometimes. Like, I haven't made my bed today, which is just disgraceful. But who's going to see my bed really today, apart from me and Peter later? So I used to be more fussy. You know, I used to try and be, you know, all things to all people. And I realized, you know, and it took me a long time to realize that, you know, you can't do it all and you can't be it all without something giving. And that's made me kind of prioritize, and I don't sweat the small stuff like I used to. So, you know, I asked somebody, a businesswoman not so long ago, you know, can you have it all? And she said, yes, you can. And she had juggled, you know, a family of three and a business. And I thought, oh no, I'm an absolute failure. And, you know, how come I can't? And then she followed on by saying, just not all at the same time, Lorraine. So that was a bit of a relief. So I kind of remind myself of that all the time. Yeah, yeah.
And where would you normally work from home?
Usually I would stay in the kitchen. I don't have an office space that has been taken up by my walk-in wardrobe. Priorities, Lorraine. But I wouldn't swap it for the world. The kitchen table is fine. And even now, it's fine. You know, we actually have, a lot of space in this house, and we had considered selling it. In fact, we just took it off the market a few months ago, at Christmas time, in fact. It's a very big house. We absolutely adore it, Arlene. But, you know, I've got two babies and two furry babies, two very small dogs. And I thought I'd fill this house with children, and that wasn't to be. But I do feel blessed that I've got two healthy ones, so I'm not complaining. Yeah. But it's just too big for us. Mind you, at the moment, it's not. We need every nook and cranny that we have. It's nice to have space from each other. But I had found another doer-upper Calsapries around the corner, because I love the area that we live in. And that's why we decided, okay, let's try it. Let's put the house on the market back in May, kind of middle of May last year. And unfortunately, the house that I was going for sold before we could sell this. So we're going to kind of take a chill pill and just enjoy. We love the area. We love our neighbours. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
It probably just wasn't meant to be, Lorraine. It, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I always say that. You know, and I'm a big believer of karma, and I think if you put good stuff out there, and if you're generally a good person, you consider others, and you're kind, it does come back. You know, I'm always saying that to my girls. I'd say they're blue in the face listening to me. You know, when I say, "What does mom say?" And then they repeat, "A smile and good manners will get you through life." and I've added an education helps also in recent years, because they're teenagers now. But yeah, I think what's meant to be will happen. Exactly.
That's so true. So tell me a little bit about your morning ritual. How does Lorraine start her day?
All my days are different, which is fabulous. It just depends on what brands I'm working with, or what events I'm planning, or, you know, what's kind of on my calendar. So for me, we get up at 7 o'clock, get the girls organized and out the door to school, because they're 13 and 16. They can do public transport most of the time, just not in the dark mornings. I would drop them when it's dark or if it's raining. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, get back to the house and have breakfast and get stuck into kind of checking emails and what's online, what's happened overnight. And a lot of it for me is planning in advance, you know, so I'll be booked for certain jobs or events or kind of online social stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm now working with finished.ie, as you know, which is really important to me. So there's a little bit to do with that as well every day. And Fashion Relief is my other love. And over the last few weeks, I've been developing my own kind of brands and products, things that I haven't been able to find. I'm a bit of a beauty product junkie, and I love trying new things. And there's some things out there that even I haven't found. So I'm starting to develop a kind of a Lorraine brand at the moment too, which is really exciting.
Excellent.
And I'm working with some great people on that. Yeah, so that's given me time. That's something that I've been talking about doing and thinking about doing for probably most of the last 10 years, you know, when I stopped off the mad roller coaster ride that was Exposé and TV3, I said, you know, now that I have time with the girls, I'll be able to do this. And of course I didn't. I found other things to do. And my first product, the Magic Hairbrush, you might have seen it. We just launched that a few weeks ago. It was supposed to be a big launch in somewhere fancy and lovely with lots of people around. But under the circumstances, it ended up being in my kitchen with my two daughters. It's on my Instagram. We had great fun. We dressed up for the occasion. And that's been received really, really well. So I'm so chuffed about that, because I am passionate about it. And it is a little bit of magic. And it's great to get the reaction from people and the support, you know, the support from people that I don't know, you know, that may follow me on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, and also from my own friends and colleagues in the business. It's just been incredible. So yeah, that's been a very exciting thing for me. And hopefully we'll have more things to follow in the not too distant future.
I have no doubt about that. And how do you switch off in the evenings, Lorraine? How do you chill out?
Well, yeah, my favorite time is the evening, actually. And we always sit down together as a family, the four of us. So we're very lucky that we have that. And I love cooking, and we're all foodies. The girls eat everything. So they're a pleasure to make food for and to cook for. So is Peter. We'll all try anything. So we sit down and we have food. We don't have a telly in our kitchen breakfast room purposely, because I suppose when I was working full time, Arlene, I was just conscious of Amelia and Romy being here with them, a childminder, and I didn't want a situation where they were kind of parked in front of the telly all the time. Now, when I, you know, was working from home full time myself, there were times when I did do that, and I thought, my goodness, you know, it's nice to, you know, for parents to get a bit of a break as well. We shouldn't beat ourselves up about that either, the guilty mom syndrome. But
sure.
But in the evenings, we'd chat or I love magazines. So I would flick through magazines. I would, when things are normal, I would work quite a lot in the evenings. So there'd be events and things that I would have to go to or want to go to and support. All days tend to be different. And if there's something on that we want to watch, we'll, you know, watch it on Peter's computer, or we bought a fabulous, what's it called? Cinema thing. Oh, the name escapes me. Projector. Ooh. We got a projector. Yeah. So we take our big painting of the white wall in the breakfast room.
That's great.
And we project Netflix or movies or TV up on the big white wall, which I would highly recommend, actually, because sometimes a TV in a room, you know, can just kind of take over, and it's a bit of an eyesore. And yet it's so good to have a television for company. And and you know, I grew up kind of on TV from the age of 18, so I always wanted to have one nearby. So yeah, it's been lovely for the family. So we'd get into a Netflix series and watch something or watch a movie. At the moment, we're trying to find some great movies from the 80s and 90s, because you tend to forget about them, that we can watch with the girls that we would have enjoyed at their age. So if anybody's got any suggestions, do let me know.
Yeah. I'll text you over a few. There's so many really, really good ones out at the moment. Really juicy
great
ones.
Yeah,
And do you like entertaining? Are you the hostess?
Yes.
Hostess?
Yeah, myself and Peter are both very sociable. So we would have friends over probably most weekends, and family, you know, the friends that we grew up with, and pals in the business and things like that. And it's all very relaxed. And again, it's all hands on deck. So it's a family affair. But we don't fuss either, you know, and it's actually from experience. You know, when you go to people's houses and they're doing like so much to make you have the best time you can possibly have, but because of that, they're so stressed. And as a couple, you know, they're like John and Mary from Father Ted, you know, get the fucking crunchies out of the car. How are you, Father? Myself and Peter used to be like that, or should I say I used to be like that in the beginning, you know, when the kids were small and working full time and then trying to entertain, and we'd be killing each other before the people arrived. And then again, whether it's just experience or age or both, or maybe I've just given up and going soft. Now we just don't. Now, because of being to dinner parties where people try too hard and therefore everybody's kind of on edge, now we just, you know, relax and
it
won't
it
be
real.
100% perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you'll have a lovely time. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Just a bit of an off piece question. Do you feel that you're a spiritual person?
Yes, I have a strong faith. I don't go to mass regularly because I don't enjoy it, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Not saying that I don't enjoy any mass. I do. There are some masses that because of the priest and because of the choir or whatever it is, are absolutely beautiful. And I really enjoy those experiences. But I would have a very strong faith insofar as I pray every night. And I believe that there are angels looking after me, and I would talk to my loved ones who have passed, and I believe they're looking after me. And it's been a huge part of my life. I think it gives me personally, and this might be selfish, just kind of more of a security, knowing that there are things out of our hands. And if we try and be a good person, you know, as much as possible, and live a good, decent life, then, you know, generally things tend to work out. And I think it's good to have a conscience anyway, because I think it just keeps us all on our toes and makes us better.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And just another quick one, a kind of off that question. Have you ever had a life-changing event in your life?
I suppose losing people that I love. My sister and I were expecting our second children together. And at 7 months pregnant, my sister gave birth prematurely, and Jet, who's my godson, only lived for 5 days. And that was a life-changing experience for all of us as a family. There's not one of us that doesn't have something that that makes them sad, and you know, and loss is a huge one. So Yeah, things like walking away from your day job, you know, and people like the press maybe taking a few swipes because they can't understand why you've left the best job in the world in their eyes just to be with your children. You know, those kind of things really don't matter. You know, as I say, I really don't try not to sweat the small stuff.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And it's so true, Lorraine.
Yeah.
So how do you spend Christmas, Lorraine?
Well, because I've got an extremely large family with my six siblings who all have children bar one. My baby sister hasn't. She just got married a couple of years ago. So between the whole lot of us, there are 37 of us, including all the children. And then my mom, my mom and her partner and my dad and his wife. So there's a big gang of us. It's rent a crowd. So we have hosted in our house a few times, and it's been great to have the space for that. And a couple of my siblings have done the same. So what we try and do is one year we do Christmas with our family, my family, and the following year with our in-laws. So I'd go with Peter's family. So it's, for me, it's just my favorite part time of the year. I just love Christmas.
Yeah.
Absolutely adore. Yeah. I just love getting everybody together, and I love, you know, the excuse to catch up with people that, you know, maybe you haven't been able to catch up with during the year. And yeah, I think it's a lovely time. So I go all out. And I'm 100% tacky at Christmas.
Really?
Because I think it's the only time that you can actually get away with it. So, yeah, I go over the top. And it's fine. If I could, I would have the front of my house lit up like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. But I'm not sure the neighbours on the square would be too happy about that. So I've had to peel back a bit.
Everything is so magical and pretty at Christmas. Everything just twinkles.
So,
I love it. I love all the white lights and everything. It's lovely.
Yeah, me too. So, I don't do tinsel anymore. You'd be glad to hear.
Oh, that's good. Lorraine, what advice would you give to your younger self?
I suppose one of the things that's come out in our conversation, Arlene, which I probably hadn't even realized myself, is just not to put so much pressure on yourself. You know what I mean? Relax and chill. Don't wait until your late 30s before you stop sweating the small stuff, you know, and to know that, you know, you can't be all things to all people all of the time. Something's got to give. And once you do your best, which I always did, people have said to me throughout my life, oh my goodness, you're so ambitious. And it's funny, you know, I never felt like I was being ambitious. Not that I'm saying it's a bad thing to be, because I think women weren't allowed to be. You know, it was like, ooh, you know, don't possibly be ambitious. That's not very ladylike. I think what happened for me was I love working. You know, I love being busy. And I think if you're a hard worker and you're focused, if you're passionate about something, it's very easy to be focused. Then you really will be a success. I say that to my girls the whole time. Like, if you love it enough and if you're willing to work hard at it, it will definitely come, you know. And my dad's a musician, and he said to all of us growing up, try and make your career be your hobby. So whatever it is you love, try and make a job out of it for yourself. And that's what I've been able to do. So I would say to my 16-year-old self, you know, just, you know, don't be so hard on yourself. And again, through my 30s, having my babies, you know, the whole guilty mom thing and beating myself up and you know, trying to be 100% perfect. There's no such thing.
That's so true. I was just going to ask you, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received? But it sounds like, you know, your dad gave you some good advice there.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's still gigging. Like, my dad's 76, Arlene, and he's still in the band and he's still traveling. With the Indians show band, you know, and it's what keeps him young as well.
Yeah.
And I've always said that too, that, you know, please God, I'll never retire. I'd be delighted to continue what I do.
And if your home was on fire and you had three objects to save, what would they be?
Except family and furry babies.
Yeah, they're outside.
I have a painting from Liz, who I used to call Tanti Lizzie, who I mentioned earlier, Elizabeth Ravo, my friend. I've a painting that Auntie Liz left me, so it'll be very hard to lift by myself. I'd need a bit of help. So if I could get it through the front door, that would be the first thing. And really after that, I'm trying to think, is there anything? Not really. No. No. I mean, I've often said to Peter, you know, God forbid, we had to tighten our belts big time when I left full-time employment 10 years ago, almost 11 years ago. And I remember saying to him, you know, like, even if we have to sell the house, who cares? It's only a house. No matter where we live, we'll turn it into a home, you know? And that's the way I feel. And I suppose that's why it was so easy for me to move all those times and renovate and move on, and both with my parents and, you know, by myself. There's nothing really that I'm that connected to.
Yeah.
You know, no thing. Yeah, maybe a Chanel bag that I bought for myself when I started in TV3 first. And I still have it just because the memory of that.
Yeah, the memory.
Saying to my mom, and actually they weren't as expensive back then as they are now, thank God. But I remember saying to my mom, oh God, mom, will I, should I really? I mean, it's outrageous. And she said, pet, you deserve it, you know. And I look after my things, love, you know, all the little bits and pieces that I have. And I still have it. So great memories. And
yeah.
Please God, the girls will enjoy it when they're a bit older.
Yeah, memories are everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's the first thing you're going to do when the lockdown is over?
Like everybody, party, have a party, throw a party, have you all around. Yeah, definitely. I know it's frightening to think of how Ireland are going to party when all this is over. I'm slightly nervous for us.
Honestly, like with all things over history and time in Ireland, it's all or nothing. So you can just really imagine.
Yeah. What about you, Eileen? What are your plans for when all this is over?
I think I just love to go out for a meal, possibly, and meet up with friends. And something special like that would be nice. Just to share a story,
everybody.
Our lockdown stories. We've been having loads of, you know, the, what do you call them? The party Zoom jobbies or whatever
Zoom,
they're called.
House party
house
and Zoom.
Parties.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we've had several of those over the lockdown, and they are just hilarious.
They really are
like great memories. And we've had such a giggle with people.
I know. It's funny though, because I, after the first weekend of discovering house party or Zoom, I remember on you know, the Friday night and getting together with some friends we hadn't seen for ages, and actually to try and organize a night out would have been impossible to get us all together. So at least we had that opportunity. Anyway, we got very overexcited, and then we had another one booked for the Saturday night. And I remember looking at my couch going, I'm actually afraid to sit on that couch tonight because I've gotten so carried away with being with my friends in my own house drinking wine that the thought of doing two in a row, because at this stage in our lives, you know, I would rarely do two in a row, and suddenly I was in fear of my own living room. It was like, Jesus Christ,
that is the problem. It's quite dangerous, really.
Can we say the Wi-Fi is down? Can we say there's a problem with our Wi-Fi? I was actually so scared because I couldn't trust myself to not go crazy again.
We have one booked for Saturday night. I'm looking forward to it. But like that, I'm not looking forward to how we're all going to feel the next morning. You know, it's so cool.
I know.
A laugh.
Seriously, we'll never learn.
Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? That's my final question.
Where do I see myself in the next 5 years? If I could continue to do what I'm doing, really, where I know I have a really good work-life balance. I've got lots of interesting projects that I'm working on, and some things that I'm building myself, and continue to pay the bills at the same time, and the school fees, that'd be lovely. So yeah, happy and healthy, and to just continue to do what I'm doing at the moment.
Great.
Would be lovely. I'd be happy with that.
Okay, and now I'm just going to quickly ask you some quick fire questions, Lorraine. Are you ready?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Tea or coffee?
Ooh, both. I can't choose. Tea in the morning, coffee for the rest of the day.
Bath or shower?
Shower.
Text or talk?
Talk. I don't even know why I had to think about that.
Bra or knickers?
Ooh, knickers.
Morning or night person?
Night person, definitely.
High heels or runners?
High heels. Love my sneakers at the moment. So glad it's a trend, but I'm a little person and I'm in denial of my short legs. So I'd be lost without my heels.
Taxi or walk?
Walk.
Home or abroad?
Home.
High street or couture?
Oh, both again. Love mixing both. And I love the challenge. The same with decor, you know, the challenge of mixing things and throwing it together and hoping it lands well.
Yeah, me too. Interiors or fashion?
Oh, now that's really tough. Ooh, probably a little bit more on the fashion. And again, I was asked a question similar, fashion or food? Mm. And I had to think about it long and hard. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think that although I'm a foodie and I adore my food, I probably keep fit and healthy so that I can wear the clothes that I love.
There you go. Mm. That motivates you. That's hilarious.
Yeah. or sad. It's hilarious or sad. An equal measure, maybe.
red carpet or being at home?
Again, both. And at the moment, red carpet.
Yeah.
Maybe if you ask me this question and please God, a few months' time when we're back to the normal, I'll say home.
Eat in or eat out?
Oh, again, I love both. Mm. I probably love eating out because I like being served the food.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love the experience of being handed yummy food rather than standing over it.
Yeah, no cleanup.
No cleanup, exactly.
News or Netflix?
News.
And last question, Boris Johnson or Donald Trump?
Oh, gosh, that is the worst choice. You are so bold. Good Lord. Oh, let's flip a coin. Boris.
I asked that to somebody else recently and they went, Brooke.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, there you go. Leo at the moment. Leo is just making us so proud.
He is.
I'm so, so proud to be Irish and to see how he's handling it in our government. Who are just floating at the moment are handling it. So yeah. I hope there's another election and we can think twice about some of the things that maybe wouldn't have happened before all this.
That's true. He's doing a good job. It's a tough time right now for him, but yeah.
And Simon Harris. I mean, he's only in his 30s. Like these guys are young men, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's a big ask, and they're definitely doing a great job. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for joining me today, Lorraine, and wishing you every success with Finish.ie.
Oh, thank you, Arlene. So lovely to talk to you. Thank you.
Lovely chatting with you. And I hope to bump into you after the lockdown.
Yes, come to my party. It's going to be fabulous.
It will. Take care. Thank you.
Thanks, Arlene.